I'm Jody, the mom.
And I'm Dr. Barr, the doc.
And this is Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas.
We bring together the mom experience and the doc expertise to give you the information and tools you need to help make the next right decision to get your child back.
Let's dive in.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Mom and Doc Talk. We are joined today by a member of our team and a PANS mom, Bridget, to talk about the homeopathic healing of urinary issues. It doesn't get as much attention in a lot of conversations because it's not as in other people's faces, but oh my goodness, when urinary stuff is controlling your life, it's a big deal. And so it's really important that we talk about this because it's a pretty common symptom, a pretty common thing that occurs in PANS pandas. And I just want to make sure people have some understanding about what it looks like and what to expect in the healing process and any insight that you guys have to offer. So welcome, Bridget. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So we always want to do our best to start these reviews of what homeopathic healing of certain symptoms looks like by sharing what you had show up in your home. So what your experience was like as context for the feedback and thoughts that you're going to share on the recovery from those. So what was, Bridget, we'll let you start if you are up for it. What were urinary issues that you experienced in your home?
So I had to go back and kind of look at the list, and I had a note that said, what could be causing these symptoms? And the first thing was urinary frequency.
Mm-hmm.
So it was one of the first things that showed up, and I started noticing just, you know, the frequency. So she would go to the bathroom and we'd walk a block, you know, to the youth group. And also she's, I have to go to the bathroom again. So it was at that point I walked in with her and she didn't really have to go a lot. And so I was like, oh, this is a UTI. She's got a UTI. So took her in, did all of the tests, no UTI. So I was like, okay, you know, and then shortly after that, she started showing up, you know, home from school with her uniform in a bag because she had Peter pants. And when I would ask her, she would just say, like, I was in line getting lunch and I had no clue. And all of a sudden there was a puddle.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I was like, okay, this is interesting, along with the other things that were kind of piling on. And then it turned into nighttime accidents. And so she was a kid that potty trained herself at 18 months old. We've had no issue. And then all of a sudden, 6 years old, this out of the blue. So back to the doctor, you know, they did all the tests, imaging to make sure there was nothing wrong, not constipated. And so we just were like, okay, this is just maybe a growing, something she's growing through, a change. And so not knowing PANS and pandas, this was kind of what we're like, okay, this is part of what we're going through now. And then, so that just, it would come and go. And so that was for probably 5 months, pretty consistent. And then it dropped off. And so we thought, okay, that was a period of time and it's gone. And then it would pop back up again. So that was just that waxing and waning. So that was how it started.
I'm curious if this was the first sign of PANS pandas or were you having other symptoms along with it at the same time?
Yeah. So she had scarlet fever and then we started to see tics. And that was like the first week. She was always anxious. Like she was a kid that just on that, you know, side of anxiety. And then it was the urinary stuff. Yeah. Would follow.
And you just didn't connect all of them together. You're just like, well, we're dealing with this. And then this other thing came along and it's a separate issue.
Mm-hmm.
But for you, for her, it started with urgency and frequency, and then daytime accidents, and then nighttime accidents.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. All right. Jody, what was it like in your home?
This is the one symptom that we didn't deal with. Mm-hmm. There was one episode, one night, and again, Avery, same thing, potty trained herself at a very, very young age, no issues whatsoever. And then there was one day where I realized that she had peed the bed and then hit it afterwards. And then once I figured out about PANS, I was like, oh my gosh, like this was it. This was urinary issues. But then of course now I'm like, it could have also been an isolated incident. But it is like literally the only symptom that we didn't really deal with. Not that I remember.
Yeah, you didn't really, of your two girls, the other one was the one who had urinary issues, but it wasn't like the PANS type issues. It was more related to the mast cell stuff. Which, I mean, maybe we should touch on just a little bit if you're okay with it.
Yeah, I am. And I was going to touch on it, but of course, it's always my, like, I'm jumping ahead and hallelujahing homeopathy because regardless of what it is, right, homeopathy can help. And it was like, G was like straight mast cell stuff, very severe mast cell stuff. And she was like every single night wetting the bed every night. And also, I think she had some frequency during the day, maybe potentially, but it was like 8 months of doing laundry every single day. It was crazy. And she was old. Like she was like 4 to 5 or something like that, if I remember correctly. And it was, I'm sure for her, like, and I'll say this, but also love homeopathy because it doesn't matter. For her, it was likely a histamine thing, whatever the mediator was. Like it was like just wrapped into the mast cell piece of what she had going on. But luckily we worked at it with homeopathy and eventually it finally went away.
Yeah. And she had some irritation too from it.
Yeah. Like what's the word? Scoriating, burning, whatever it was.
It was acrid. Yeah. It would like, or acrid or excoriating. Yeah. It would burn her.
Bad.
Yeah. It was pretty rough. Some pretty bad skin issues as a result of the urinary issues. So when I was a kid and now, you know, understand that I mean, there's no way to go back in time and completely verify, but, you know, I had all of the symptoms of PANS and I had mycoplasma pneumonia that triggered a flare and I'd had strep and whatnot as a kid. When I was 6, I remember twice very close together that I just peed myself. Once I was sitting it was like reading time in first grade and I stood up and I was just like, I am wet and I don't know how that happened. And, you know, really embarrassed and didn't go ask for help or anything. Just tried my best to hide it and hope nobody noticed that there was a little puddle on the floor. And then another time coming home from Girl Scouts, my friend's mom was giving me a ride and it just happened in the back of the minivan. And same thing, I tried to hide it and hope that nobody noticed. And nobody ever said anything to me about it. So I don't know if they did. But it truly, they stand out in my memory. And it is truly something. It's not that a child is necessarily just distracted, because that can happen if there's ADHD and just as an underlying component or an ADHD that's induced by PANS, you can have that just pushing things because of hyperfocus or whatnot that is not wanting to stop this preferred activity to go and take care of a bodily need or not tending or even noticing the sensation because of everything until it's like big, right? But it wasn't that. It was like truly just didn't know that it was happening and didn't feel it until it had already happened. Like no awareness, no connection to my body, no signal that I needed to go to the bathroom that I ignored or anything like that. So a lot of kids might have some of what you shared, Bridget. So it might be urgency, it might be frequency, it might be involuntary urination or during the day or at night. So it can be any of these things. So it does not have to be all, right? It can be the kids who can't avoid going to the bathroom every 5 minutes. You know, you can't take a road trip anywhere because there aren't enough bathroom stops along the way to make it work. Or you need to go to the bathroom 5 times while you're grocery shopping. Can also be that it only shows up like at night where there's a more anxiety and related component where they're feeling like, what if I have to get up? What if I have to get up? What if I have to get up? And so they're needing to get up again and again and again, and then feeling more of that as well. There can also be some kids who just have altered sensation in their genital area. And so it could also maybe not actually be a much urinary frequency or urgency, but just like a weird feeling there that, you know, could for some people might be described as maybe like itchy or just weird, you know, like. And that was what I came on for me with a later flare, was it just felt weird. And for some kids, they will feel like they're always wet, even if they're not. So phantom wetness is another symptom where then can lead to compulsions to constantly wipe and to the point that they get really irritated. So there's lots of different ways that we can have urinary symptoms present. Homeopathy, as you said, Jody, can help with most of these things. It is warranted to just go and check and make sure that there's not something structurally that is not something that homeopathy would be able to help with. So it does warrant getting checked for a urinary tract infection, because some kids actually do flare from urinary tract infections too. So just because you have PANS doesn't mean you won't also have a UTI that needs to be addressed. So it is important to still get checked to verify that it is not a UTI and that it is neurologically based before we just tackle it with homeopathy. Homeopathy can help with UTIs. So that is an important thing to note. And depending on where you're at in the healing process, antibiotics might be warranted. This is always something to talk to your provider about. So what I've generally seen with homeopathy is it just with healing with the urinary stuff, this can be a faster moving symptom on the physical side of symptoms, but it's not usually the most immediate thing. But there it can move close to the speed of like anxiety with the improvements of especially the urgency and the frequency that tends to move faster. The urinary, like the bedwetting, that oftentimes is a little bit slower, and it's not something that is usually once it starts to recover, boom, it's gone and it's not coming back. That is something that does tend to recur. And so what we tend to see here is as with many things and most things in homeopathy, we're going to see changes in frequency, intensity, and duration. So the urinary urgency and frequency, we will see not necessarily that it's just, oh, we can just now go 3 hours on a road trip and be fine. It might be that instead of having to stop every 20 minutes on a road trip, now you can go 45 minutes. And then you can go an hour, then an hour and a half. And eventually you can go to, you know, other people are needing to stop before your child who was the one who was dictating all of the restroom breaks before. Same thing with the feeling of urgency, that there is a better capacity, and whether it's an earlier recognition or a better capacity to sense that you need to urinate and have the ability to hold it for longer before you need to go and without having an accident. So then the accidents start to reduce as well. The overnight bedwetting, that's kind of like, it does reduce in the, generally, it does reduce in the frequency, intensity, and duration. There's really nothing you can change with that, right? So it's more about frequency that we're looking at. And so we'll see from, instead of wetting the bed every night to like two nights a week to twice a month to, oh, we went several months without it. And then, oh no, it's back. Okay. And we need an adjustment. So it's one of those things that it's not going to be gone. And when it recurs, it's not necessarily a big deal. It might warrant getting checked for a UTI in those cases if it's been gone for quite some time and comes back. But it's likely just that there's an adjustment in the remedy that's needed and that symptom's not quite fully recovered yet. I think those are the main things to share. For kids who are on the spectrum or who have developmental delays or other factors that maybe they had not reached the skill or learned the skill to be potty trained, they will oftentimes have more challenges in recovery. This is going to be a stickier symptom. For kids who are never potty trained, this is not necessarily like a PANS associated thing and not something that you should expect homeopathy to recover as quickly. So if they were never potty trained, there is likely something else that is contributing to the difficulty in learning the skill and getting the cues from the body figuring out the skill, than beyond PANS. And so homeopathy can help with getting the body to be the best that it possibly can. And you might just have a child who's a slower learner and the body being slower to adapt to this. So it's not common to see kids all the way through elementary school having bedwetting, but it is within the realm of normal to still be in elementary school and have an otherwise healthy child still have bedwetting because they just haven't, their body has not caught up. And so one thing to always look at too is if you were somebody who wet the bed for a long time, there tends to be like a family connection. And yes, there's a family connection with PANS, but this seems to be a separate thing beyond just PANS. Does that make sense?
Yep.
I'm going to pause and see what you guys have to say about what the healing of urinary issues looked like in your family. So Bridget, why don't you go ahead?
So I loved hearing that you said it's not usually the first thing. It was definitely the first thing that we saw, first remedy.
Yeah, awesome.
And it was, thankfully, it was very easy for me to track. Did she
flush
that or did she not? So that was helpful to get started. But that was within probably 2 weeks of her first remedy, started to, it wasn't every night, you know. And then I also was tracking, like, because she had stopped wanting to drink because she didn't want to pee her pants. And so then trying to get more fluids in her, but that would, it was definitely less frequent. And throughout healing, it would be, you know, we would go weeks and weeks and weeks, and then all of a sudden it would come back. Mm-hmm. So again, we'd be changing potencies. Then it would go months and we wouldn't have any accidents. Later on, it was, we'd always go to a friend's cabin and first night she'd pee her pants. And I was like, probably mold, probably, you know, something else coming in there. But so I knew, like, hey, we're going to need to prepare because it seems like every time we're there, she'll have nighttime accidents. And then I can't remember when it just disappeared, but it was pretty much the first one that kind of we checked off the list.
Fully resolved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And that can absolutely happen. So you're not alone with that. And it's one of those that it kind of runs the gamut for how it's going to recover. And it kind of depends on, you know, for some people it's, you know, when it showed up. So if it's more recent, so perhaps because it came on later in her trajectory of symptoms, the more recent symptoms tend to go away sooner or easier. And the long ones who've been around for longer can be a little bit stickier. And it depends on a lot of things with it. And I there's another component that I haven't touched on yet that can come up with kids with PANS and urinary stuff that we'll touch on in a minute that's beyond the physiologic component and that we're talking about right now. Jody, what did it look like for you?
Nighttime bedwetting took a little bit longer. Not super long, though.
Yeah.
But also, too, like, we were just kind of going about our business. And then one day I was like, I haven't done laundry in 3 days. Mm-hmm. I was like, it's gone. And at that time, she had so much stuff going on. Selfishly, I was like, thank you, Lord. Like, I get a break from daily laundry because that is like crazy making, which sounds silly because there's so many hard things about PANS. Why would laundry be so hard? But to me at the time, it was really, really hard. And then I remember it waxing and waning a little bit. And then eventually it got better. And for her, you know, back in the day, she was on a really, really hefty regimen of like different mast cell treatments, just trying to establish some stability and allow her to be able to leave our house. So at the time, I was doing weekly infusions on her. So she was getting a bag of saline. And the night after infusion day was always like a complete nightmare because it was just so, like, it didn't matter how much I put on the bed. We were going through mattresses. So I remember making it through, like, the night after an infusion. I woke up the next morning, got her up out of bed, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, she just made it through the night without that. So, like, her being able to make it through that and not have that bedwetting issue was really nice. And then, of course, whenever the literally, like, burning, melting her skin stopped, that was such a huge thing for her because that was, I mean, since birth, that was an awful, awful experience for her. So that was really just some relief for her.
Yeah. And that took longer than the bedwetting because that had been present for so long for her. I can completely understand why the laundry would be a big thing for many parents, even with dealing with all of the other stuff that you have to deal with PANS, because unless everybody out there is better at doing laundry than me. I, especially sheets, most of my sheets get washed at least 2 times before they get to the dryer. And if you don't have the sheets, or if you've had a really exceptionally bad night with bedwetting, you've had to change a couple of times. If all of your sheets are either being used or dirty, what happens when it's like you're at the end of the day and you just need to get this child to bed and you know it's going to be a fight and oh my God, they don't have clean sheets because you forgot to actually move the laundry over. So I mean, laundry would be a big thing for me if I had to do it every single day. Yeah, that would.
And if they're sleeping in a bunk bed, because that was a nightmare.
that's so much worse. Getting a fitted sheet on a top bunk is a different kind of torture.
Yeah. So there's plenty of parents who can understand and relate and just like, yes, the urinary stuff, people don't see it as much, but oh my God, this is driving me cuckoo bananas. All right. The only other thing that really came to mind that I feel like we should touch on, I don't know if that either of you, actually, Jody, I know your family did not have this. And Bridget, I don't think your family had this from anything you've shared to us in the past. Because just in case you guys want to hear, Bridget did share her story, her family story on a previous episode that we'll put a link to in the show notes for you. It was a really fantastic episode. Bridget had some really great advice and insights that would be good to check out if you haven't already. But one of the things that can come up is children intentionally urinating in inappropriate places, or kids who have OCD that makes them so they have to urinate in a bucket in their room, or that they will urinate on clothes of like piles of laundry, that they won't go into the bathroom. And this is something homeopathy can help with. And it's usually tied to an OCD component more. And so that can unfortunately be a little bit stickier than the more pure physiological disconnection that we're having with the, urinary system in general, and just like the body remembering how to retain and give the sensory cues and everything. So that can take a while. In some cases, it can be for the kids who have more of the psychotic presentation of PANS. So, you know, PANS can have hallucinations and delusions and all of that in really more severe states. It's not the most common presentation, but it can happen. And sometimes we'll see that in those states as well. So if it's not an OCD associated urinating in an inappropriate place, or stooling in an inappropriate place as well, if it's more associated with like a hallucinatory state or a delusional paranoid type state, that can actually move faster. That type of state does tend to heal on the faster side than the ones that are more driven by OCD, because OCD is just a slower, stickier symptom for most people.
I will say, for our younger daughter, we have a G as well. I had been tracking leakage forever for her, and we had an acute appointment for something, and we started to talk about her leakage, and just having the provider ask the questions to her about it, it literally, she figured out it's not leakage. She has a sensation to go. She does not want to, like, she suppresses it and keeps suppressing it, and then it's just too late. So mm-hmm. I'm like, I would have never. You know, so I was tracking it as leakage. She was kind of doing it to herself.
And that's an excellent point, is that it can be useful to ask sometimes. You know, you can get some symptoms about sensations that are present or not present, what is going on around it. Symptoms that you're going to want to ask your kids to try and understand the best is if there's any pain associated with it. If there is pain, is it before urination, during urination, after urination? What does it feel like? Where do you feel it in the body? That kind of thing that can all be really, really helpful. Sometimes, like me, there is no sensation and you're just like, I don't know what happened. Suddenly I'm sitting in a puddle of pee on the floor. So do you guys have any other feedback like that, that to help parents with things that they might need to know to share to help with this particular symptom?
I don't think I have anything.
Okay.
Have your provider ask your kid if they're willing to answer, because I wasn't asking any question. I was, you know, a leakage.
Here's the symptom. Right. Yeah. Did either of you try any of the, like, the tools for bedwetting?
No, we did not do, like, the waking up. Again, a bunk bed. We didn't do, there's, like, the alarm thing. Mm-hmm. We did not do any of that.
I was the tool. I like set my alarm and I would get up like three times a night to poor kid. I would get her up out of bed and sit her on the toilet and she would be completely asleep. But other than that, no, that didn't work either. Mm-mm. Don't do that.
Yeah. When it's driven by a UTI or when it's driven by PANS or PANDAS, you're not good. The tools aren't necessarily going to help, right? The tools might be more helpful if you are dealing with a never been potty trained situation that might have been exacerbated by PANS. it's more likely that if you're in that situation, that you'll have steady state of that between flares, not necessarily a worsening between flares. And that when you're in just like a steady state, not moving, that's when some of those, like the potty training, especially like the later potty training strategies and they'll like the wet bed alarms and that kind of thing will be a little bit more useful.
Yeah. Cause I guess I didn't think it was like she had the ability to do it. She had been doing it for years. So I was like, something else is like, I don't think an alarm getting her up to go is going to change anything.
Yeah. All right. Any other thoughts or feedback or advice to offer for parents if this is one of the big symptoms they're struggling with?
I mean, start homeopathy. I mean, it's just, it is so wild that, you know, I'm not going to mention remedy, but it's first remedy we're on. And now I have a 16-year-old. We just did an acute appointment for, she had like a lip, like dry skin above her lip. Back on that remedy. And for her to now witness again homeopathy coming in, and I didn't take it yesterday. It's getting worse. You know, like take it, and now it's gone. You know, so it is fun to see, you know, her getting witnessed because she was so young when, yeah, you know, most of the stuff. And that physical, if you have something on your face and you don't want it there as a teenager, you know.
Pretty strong motivation. Yes.
That's homeopathy proving us moms right to our teenage kids. That's a win right there.
She's like, I need steroids. I was like, you need a remedy. Let's get a remedy.
All right. Anything else, Jody? Anything from you?
Anything? Check into it. It sucks really bad. But I have, like, through the years, like, there's a couple of different symptoms that whenever somebody talks about it, I feel relief in my body. And the urinary stuff is one of them. Like, anybody getting relief from that, just like constant handling of it, I feel so relieved. So I know there's a lot of us that have had kiddos that have, you know, been going through it, and then homeopathy has helped get rid of it. So just encourage you to get started and stick with it.
So the only other things that I can think that just jumped into my mind to add, so if there is an underlying ADHD, more pure ADHD, not just PANS induced ADHD, that can improve with homeopathy, including the tending to the body and being willing to stop and go to the restroom when you need to before it becomes too late or an emergency. So homeopathy can still help if that's part of it. If you have a more pure non-PANS related ADHD, then you might have some of that stick around a little bit longer because PANS is likely to heal first. And then the ADHD, you know, we're learning that ADHD isn't necessarily a thing to heal from, but the ways that we struggle when our ADHD is going, when we're not doing well, the ADHD gets worse and the things associated with the ADHD get worse. And when we're doing well, the ADHD can be a strength, and there's ways that we can work with it and cope through the things where we're going through life and it's not set up for somebody with ADHD. So we're not necessarily going to cure and remove the ADHD if it is just how your brain is wired, but the things associated with it where you aren't tending to it that cause the suffering and distress, like the urinary challenges, that can improve with homeopathy. And then the only other thing that really jumped to mind is that just like anything with homeopathy, you can't focus only on this symptom. So you can't say, I have this urinary symptom, I'd like to make it go away, so I'm just going to talk about this. That's not going to necessarily be the thing that's going to help you get the urinary symptom away. It's going to be the totality of the case to make sure you're getting the right remedy for you as a whole person. And then I guess one more thing just jumped to mind is that, you know, Bridget, you shared the understanding and we shared a little bit about the details that you can get that can be useful if you can't get them because your child is nonverbal, your child is not willing to participate, your child just can't tell you anything or just can't, it's fine. Go with what you've got. And again, we're looking at the totality. And so there will be something around it that will help get the recovery to come along, even if you can't get the level of detail of what it feels like or what's happening around it, and or if it's, you know, waiting too long and just not wanting to stop what you're doing. So, all right. Thanks, ladies, for coming to talk pee with me. And I appreciate your willingness to share and contribute to helping people understand what it's going to be like to heal this aspect of PANS with homeopathy. All right. So we got a couple more, I think, in this series. I think maybe one more in the series before we're wrapping this up for the year. So hopefully it's been really helpful. If you've got questions for us, make sure to reach out. You can send us emails. You can connect with us on social or in our Facebook groups. Let us know if you've got questions that we didn't manage to answer, but I think we got it mostly covered. All right. Thanks, everybody. Take care, guys.
We hope you found this episode helpful, hopeful, and inspiring. We would love to connect with you on social media and have you as part of our amazing community. You can find us on Facebook by searching for Homeopathy for Pans and Pandas.
If Facebook isn't your thing, you can also connect with us on Instagram and YouTube by searching for Resilience Naturopathic or clicking the links in our show notes. You can also visit our website, resiliencenaturopathic.com.
As always, we value your partnership in advocacy and education. Your support through following, sharing, rating, and reviewing our podcast is crucial in our mission to teach the world about PANS, PANDAS, and homeopathy. So if you found this podcast helpful, please leave us a review. Together, we are making a difference.
And finally, this podcast really is for you. Your questions and feedback help us make sure we are answering the right questions so you can feel confident making the next right step for your kids. Send us your questions or request guests by emailing us at podcast@resiliencenaturopathic.com, also linked in the show notes.